Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Captain America Minute, where we examine the 2011 Joe Johnston-directed feature, Captain America, the First Avenger, at the rate of 1 minute of screen time per episode. I'm one of your hosts just a few miles from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. This is Jim O'Kane of TVDads.com.
And I'm Hal Bryan, an airplane nerd from the home of the Experimental Aircraft Association here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
And I'm Brian Fees, a graphic novelist and lifelong Avengers comic book reader.
65 minutes in, and we've got this, you know, we haven't had a lot of dialogue lately, but poor Hal's going to get a workout on this particular minute, but not much in the way of accents, I think. Well, unless he wants
yes,
to be Brooklyn.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, good luck. Give us minute 65 in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. All right. Minute 65. Steve Rogers slips into a dimly lit room in the Hydra factory, his eyes adjusting to the shadows. On a table, Bucky Barnes lies strapped down, his voice a hollow chant. Sergeant, 32557. Bucky? Oh my God, Steve breathes, rushing to unfasten the straps. Bucky's dazed eyes focus on him. Is that? It's me. It's Steve, Steve says, his voice urgent. Steve? Bucky murmurs, disbelief flickering. Come on, Steve urges, steadying him. I thought you were dead. Steve helps him sit up, his own relief palpable. I thought you were smaller, Bucky adds, staring at Steve's transformed physique. Steve glances at a map on the wall, marking Hydra facilities. Come on. Bucky, unsteady, lets Steve support him as they leave the lab. What happened to you? I joined the army, Steve replies, a faint grin breaking through. Outside, the 107th prisoners surge through the compound, commandeering Hydra's futuristic tanks. Explosions erupt as they demolish guard towers, Hydra troops, and the perimeter fence, their escape nearly unopposed. Inside, Steve and Bucky navigate back toward the bridge over the factory floor. Did it hurt? Bucky asks, his voice weak. A little, Steve answers. Is this permanent? Bucky presses, eyeing Steve's muscular frame. So far, Steve says, guiding him forward. A control panel timer in the factory reaches zero.
Ominous.
It's a very dramatic moment. A lot of action going on here.
Yeah.
There is. And a terrific bit of comedy without breaking the drama.
Yeah. Yeah. a great army recruitment.
Yes, exactly. I joined the army. Oh, is that all? Well, I was injected and there were some vita rays, but you know, yada, yada, yada.
Do you think
but just Bucky's coming. I thought you were smaller. It's funny, but it's absolutely 100% not out of character.
Yeah, yep. They both kid each other. And this is something new to kid about.
Right.
So, you know, I was in watching this minute, we were talking the other day about when Captain America showed up to rescue the Howling Commandos the first time they met. And Hal, I think it was you that brought up, I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you.
Oh, and, yeah.
Something that was hitting me on this, you know, that was like almost 50 years ago, that Star Wars, another almost 50 years thing hit me about the same time. It's lyrics from a song. And the lyrics were, wind was blowing, time stood still, eagle flew out of the night. He was something to observe, came in close. I heard a voice standing, stretching every nerve. I had to listen. I had no choice. I didn't believe the information, but I had to trust my imagination. My heart was going boom, boom, boom. Son, he said, grab your things. I'm come to take you home. And that's all I was thinking. It's like 1977 Salisbury Hill.
Oh, of course, Salisbury Hill.
And it's, you know, it just hit me. That's Bucky's trying to go, what is going on with this little kid that I knew from Brooklyn?
Right,
and why exactly. Is, you know, and he's like, I'm here to take you home. And he's like, let's go.
And did we, it also, that whole thing brings to mind, and I don't think so, apologies if I'm misremembering, but the other one that flashed into my head from a similar era, that a little bit of that, you know, that I'm here to rescue you, but the opposite, instead of doubting, but that whole Superman, you know, don't worry, I've got you, you know, you've got me. Who's got you?
He's got you. Yes. Yeah.
Just yes. That the idea of the rescuee there's just something about this they can't grasp, whether it's Leia right. saying, who are you? And Bucky can't figure out why he's so big. And
yeah, skinny Steve, my little pal Steve's here to rescue me. What?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it is if it was still skinny Steve, it's like, okay, you're going to rescue me, but who's going to rescue us? After that.
And across the two Marvel DC universes, I think Superman and Captain America are the only ones on a par with each other for altruism, or their flaws are external. Their only flaws is in being sympathetic. It's that their weakness is their empathy for their friends and people who need their help.
Absolutely. So, both characters are the moral centers of their respective universes. Their power levels are nothing alike, of course, but ethically and morally, you can trust you take either character at their word and know that you're on the right team.
Yeah, they're just unimpeachable that way.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the Superman minute, but when Lois is interviewing Superman and says, who are you? Why are you here? And he says, I'm here to fight for truth, justice, and the American way. And Lois says, I can't believe you. And he said, and Superman responds, Lois, I never lie. Yeah. And I can't imagine, Steve would never lie. No matter what was going on, he wouldn't lie about stuff.
Now we have talked about the contrast in their respective codes vis-a-vis killing. I mean, Superman never kills, but he doesn't have to. He's got godlike powers. Captain America's a soldier, and he's in World War II, and he's shooting to kill.
He comes blasting with his 45 automatics when he's walking through the. Well, we're going to see in a future minute, but that's his job, and. Let God sort them out later, I think, is where he's at.
I had a question for you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Adam. No, go ahead.
I was going to change the subject, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, plus, the bad guys are just ultra Nazis. So,
yes.
The Nazis are afraid of them. That's a,
yes, exactly. They're the Nazis, Nazis. I think it's something that we said on an earlier episode. So,
absolutely.
But anyway.
I was looking at this minute of the film, and we see Steve look up at a map that shows Hydra bases throughout Europe. And we saw the exact, or here's my question. We saw a map much like it in the previous minute where Zola was escaping. Zola looks up at a map that's got the Hydra bases on a map of Europe. I looked real closely to see if those were the same map, if Zola was in that room with Bucky when he escaped. And is that the room he came out of? He came out of the room, Steve chased him down the corridor and then looked in that room and saw Bucky in the same room.
Yeah.
Because as I freeze the frames, the details don't quite line up. The light on the wall and the filing cabinets and such aren't exactly the same, but I think that's supposed to be the same room. And Zola was in there with Bucky. Am I reading that right?
I had that feeling that that's where, if you watch the 2 minutes back to back, that he is in the foreground as he's leaving, and then Captain America comes down the hallway and then ducks into that room. Yeah. So I'm assuming.
So the implication is Zola is in there experimenting on Bucky at that moment.
Yeah. Now which would indicate that Zola is part of Super Soldier 2.0. Or is that some other doctor working on Bucky to come up with something that won't peel the skin off your face.
Well, I would think
Zola was the head, he's the head nerd for Hydra. So I assume.
Yeah. I mean, we have the precedent of Howard Stark working on both Super Soldier and all the, magic Blu-ray stuff. So I think Zola could be his counterpart on the evil side. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, as we first find Bucky strapped in that room, he's reading off his name, rank, and serial number. So Bucky, I get the feeling, is under the impression he's being questioned, but I don't know, if they are actually doing Super Soldier, maybe nobody's asking him any questions and he's just trying to start a conversation.
We had a discussion in a previous episode about whether at what point Bucky got his super soldierness, and is it here? Is this when he was experimented on and got the super soldier serum? But if so, why doesn't he exhibit the, super soldierness, skills later in this film? Or is it after he's found having plummeted down the cliff? I had just had one thought about this, and it occurred to me after that episode. is in the movie Thunderbolts. Bucky and the Red Guardian are talking to each other. Red Guardian is the Soviet version of Captain America. He got the Soviet super soldier serum. Try saying that five times fast.
Try saying it once.
and the Red Guardian asks Bucky, what kind of serum did you get? And Bucky says, Hydra. And what kind of serum did you get? Soviet. Or the Red Guardian says, oh, fancy, Hydra. What did you get? Oh, regular Soviet. Oh, okay. But Bucky flat out says he got super soldier serum from in treatment from Hydra, which would suggest it happened in this base at this time.
I was wondering if maybe with Zola, you know, we had Erskine had worked on Red Skull. Erskine was the first attempt, and that didn't come out too well. So Zola might have figured out there was a missing ingredient, and you know, Erskine and Zola had both come up with the idea. Well, with Erskine, it was Vita rays, but Zola might have wanted to try Tesseract rays, you know, that blue glow, and maybe he didn't get the chance before Bucky fell off the train to try the blue glow on him.
And I'm wondering if, you know, if right here, like he's been injected, but because there's no Vita rays and no Tesseract, that's why Bucky is groggy and weak and wiped out, because, you know, maybe there's a, you know, an incubation period or something that's happening there you know, at this point, does he have it in him, but it just hasn't manifested yet? Because obviously Steve with the Vita rays, he's, you know, chasing a bad guy and punching submarines, you know, within moments after popping out.
Yeah, after the Vita rays portion.
Yeah. I like that. It's the in Bucky's case, the cake batter has been poured into the pan, but it hasn't been put in the oven yet. He's not fully baked.
He's not fully baked.
Yeah, it's, and you know, it's like, I think back in, you know, when we saw the process, minute 35, we were talking about the serum infusion. You know, when he gets the tetanus shot, and then he gets the blue goop pumped into his body. He's still skinny Steve, so right. Maybe that's it. You're right. He needs that yeast that is either Vita rays or Tesseract rays or whatever Zola was planning.
By the way, Jim, I really appreciate you running with the metaphor of baking by throwing the yeast in there. Thanks for backing me up there.
Well, you don't want to have an unleavened superhero. You know, it's just one of those things.
I'm hearing, you know, the radio ads for the old Fleischmann's yeast hour and stuff. Fleischmann's yeast now with Vita rays.
Get your Irish soda superhero.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Raisins not included. Yeah. It's difficult, but yeah, I do. It's nice hearing the banter here. It was very.
Oh yeah.
It's you know, obviously they're back to being old Bucky, old Steve, and just a new situation.
And by this point in the movie, we haven't seen Bucky in a while, and it is really nice to have them back together under different circumstances, but still being the same guys, the same brothers.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it's great that Bucky of all people is there at the height of Steve proving that he's not just a chorus girl. As Captain Phillips said, you know, all the other, the most of the soldiers before we get to this point, and he's rescuing the Howling Commandos, you know, most of the troops that Steve's been around have been mocking him and making fun of him.
Right.
And, yeah. And, you know, now he's found his way, he's proving his mettle, and, you know, who better to benefit from it, but also just be a witness to it. You know, Steve's got to be pretty proud.
Yeah, and Bucky is coming across with his, I mean, his first thing is toward empathy. Is, you know, he's seen Steve beat up in many an alleyway, and so his first thing he asked him was, did it hurt? This must have been just a very uncomfortable experience.
Yeah, did it hurt? And then is it permanent? Like, you know, also like he's concerned maybe this is going to wear off. And
yeah, he's going to have to carry little Steve out of Austria.
So. Yeah, and I love Steve's response so far. Yeah.
So far, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
When you imagine poor skinny Steve in some suddenly really baggy clothes, you know, getting having to be carried out of there. So yes, good for
really
them.
It's really going to affect his asthma. Wow. And I, of course, you know, this is perfect that the trope of the ticking clock as we get to the end of the minute, having that thing hitting getting down to zero, and you know that all hell
Right.
is going to break loose because you need that. I mean, the only thing it doesn't have, that microwave beeper that going off.
We couldn't have broken this minute at a better shot, a spot that it's
Yeah.
just as the timer's hitting zero, man.
Yeah.
If we ever get Joe back on, we got to thank him for minute 65
Yeah,
again, getting it
right.
just right.
Exactly.
I wanted to just follow up on something Hal just said that I really liked, because we'd spoken earlier minutes about how very few people believe in Steve. Colonel Phillips doesn't believe in Steve. The other super soldier candidates don't believe in Steve. But Peggy Carter always believed in Steve. Dr. Erskine always believed in Steve. And Bucky doesn't know Steve as a soldier, but always believed in him as a person. So, when Hal's exactly right. When Steve shows up to rescue Bucky, he's not incredulous. He's curious, like, how the hell did you get here? And how'd you get so big? But he doesn't question Steve's courage or, degrade him at all or criticize him at all. He accepts that his pal has come for him. One way or another, his pal Steve has come for him. And I think
Absolutely.
that's a really sweet, kind of a sweet moment.
And it's also nice that if this were a different hero and a different friend or sidekick or acquaintance or something, you might see injured, beat up, worn out, defeated Bucky feeling like, even though I'm in bad shape, I have to take charge now because you're the weaker of the two. He's, as you said, Brian, he trusts him as a person, and now he appears to have the tools to back that up. And it's nice that you don't see Bucky just trying to step back into that, okay, you got this far, but I'll get us out of here, kid, or anything like that. It's just, let's go.
Yeah.
I've got to point out something about as Steve, not Steve, as Bucky is explaining his serial number, where he's saying 32557. In the comic adaptation of the First Avenger, he gives out his full serial number, which is 32557038. And so it's three two
Wow.
five five seven is the first part of it, but just to go with the accuracy of Joe Johnston, the first digit three in your serial number means that you were drafted, as opposed to number one for regular army volunteers. And the second digit two is the service command, the geographic area that you came from, much like, the first three digits of your social security number tell you what part of the country your social security number was issued in, where you were living. And so the number two, the geographic area, is New York. So Bucky is
Wow.
from Brooklyn, so that matches perfectly. And the 3-2 is a standard for draftees and enlistees for the New York area. So they really did their homework finding out that World War II serial number convention rather than just, picking random digits. So,
Yeah, he could have been muttering anything, and
and
and we would have bought it until just now if it had been wrong.
He'll bring him back again. He'll bring that number back again when Bucky is on the helicarrier and Steve's trying to reach him during the fight on the helicarrier. He starts saying that number again. So if anybody's watching Winter Soldier, this number will pop up later on in the series. And a little exciting. As far as I can tell, there's no deeper Easter egg, like a birth date or coordinates or something to do with Stan Lee or
In the comic adaptation, how many digits is the full number?
Let's see. Well, it's 32557038. So it's eight.
It's 8, so it's not a phone number.
No. Yeah, it's not the it's not the address of where they were at the
Let's try making some crank calls, man. Let's see what
Yeah,
happens.
let's just
Exactly.
start calling.
Just start picking
Area code
your area
325
codes. Yeah, area code
5170.
325.
Yeah, we're calling from the Captain America Minute podcast.
Who are you,
Yeah.
and what do you have to do with Bucky Barnes?
Tell us the count and the amount, and you win $100. Yes.
And I will go on record as saying that I don't care who answers the phone, we could make it an interesting episode.
Yeah, so we might even get them on as a guest. We'll work on that.
That's
But yeah, it's
wonderful.
fascinating. So
So.
if he was drafted, he would be a three, and I know that the one means that you're regular army volunteer. So that would mean that Steve Steve's serial number must start with a one. I don't know if it, I have ne I don't remember anywhere in the movie Steve mentioning his serial number, but that'll be interesting to look for. So
yeah, I'm not aware of. I don't remember any place in any of the movies where he does, and if it's in the comics, it's buried pretty deep. But there might be some wiki entry or something out there that would have it.
somebody out there would know it. Yes.
And of course, the whole thing, the trope is name, rank, and serial number. And you know, we've had discussions about Steve's rank before. You
Yeah.
know, something from buck private to captain with no obvious commissioning ceremony here that we see on screen. So who knows?
Yeah, and does he wear his dog tags on stage? I didn't know if, where, what is he have under
Yeah.
that shirt?
Just tuck
So
him in. That's okay. I mean, he is in the army, you know.
it's true, yeah.
That's right.
And I'm assuming he's got his railroad tracks on him somewhere. But
If he were in the Navy, he'd be like Commodore America, you know.
Commodore
Admiral America,
America,
just yeah.
or Commodore 64, at
There,
least.
yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll see myself out. I should have used that one on Minute 64
Yeah. Oh well,
last
we
episode.
had our chance and muffed it.
Yes. I do need to point out quickly too, it's nice that in this part of the film we're seeing a glimpse of, some glimpses of one flying machine, but then we were discussing the Hydra map on the wall, and of course right next to that is a nice at least two view, if not three view drawing of a big flying wing that we would know
Yes.
as the America bomber.
We'll be getting there.
So
Yes, I caught that too.
that's
Yeah.
Chekhov's bomber. We're seeing it
Yes.
here at the beginning, and it we'd better see it again in Act Three. So,
Yeah, we have to start watching for flying torpedoes too. I kept looking for one in the factory. I saw there was one where there was like propellers inside of a turbine and or a nacelle, and I wasn't sure what that was connected to, but I thought, well, maybe that's one of those flying torpedo things. But well, we'll keep hunting for it. There's much more activity and aircraft to pick Hal's brain about. So anyway, we will continue on with this. But thank you all for being a part of our show. We are always interested in hearing from you all. So if you could please continue the conversation over at Camp Lehigh, the Captain America listeners base over on Facebook. If you do like the show, as I always ask, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a like. At the podcast streaming service where you found this episode, I know you're probably driving in your car or sitting on your Peloton or marching down the street with your big dog. But if you can, just when you get back to the house and you can sit in front of your phone and just hit the 5-star button, that helps us a bunch. Also, please check out our website, capminute.com, for the latest about our podcast topics and guests. And be sure to join us here next time on the Captain America Minute.
I can do this all day.